Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas, home of the Ten Commandments, apparently based on some recent legislation that actually got blocked by a district judge or something, where they were going to just make the Ten Commandments be posted in classrooms in Texas, all the public classrooms of the public school districts. And then they blocked it. And now they're at a stalemate, which, what else did you expect? It's a clear violation of your freedom of religion. Okay, anyway. So, Melissa Diaz Report, what's up? Today is Thursday, August 21st. Just checking in, saying what's up, what's going on. Extremely sleep deprived right now. I have a 4-month-old, soon to be 5-month-old, and this little bitch just does not want to sleep. She wants to eat while she sleeps, which, I mean, really defeats the purpose of eating. I mean, I'm going to have to teach her better. You cannot enjoy the food if you're asleep. I don't know, actually. She might be onto something. Anyway, moving on. What are we going to cover today? I'm hopped up on coffee, also extremely tired. I'm hoping that evens it out and makes me semi-normal. But what I will try to do is cover the following topics, okay? So today, what are we doing? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about artificial intelligence. We're going to talk about how an actor is using his avatar his AI avatar basically, to sell supplements on TikTok. We're going to be talking about AI toys as a substitute for hands-on parenting. We're going to talk about a new report that claims that nearly 8 in 10 companies use generative AI and also found no significant bottom line impact, particularly outside the tech sector. My bad. And then we're going to be talking about the gaming platform Roblox and how kids are inventing a new pagan pseudo-religion called Spawnism based on video game lore. And they're also worshiping a clip art asset from the 90s. And then we're going to be talking about, quickly, we're going to run through ambassadors, international ambassadors at the Edinburgh Fringe sharing their favorite national jokes to have a little lightheartedness today. If we have time, we'll get down to talking about the radioactive shrimp. We're going to be talking about a woman who traveled to D.C. to assassinate President Trump. And then finally, we're going to try to talk about Joe Rogan's latest product, merch, whatever you call it. It's a kettleball of his head. And because, of course, right? Okay. And, if we have a little bit more time... we're going to talk about Google's Pixel 10 iPhone, Pixel 10 phones. Damn. It's like you can't not say iPhone. I don't know. It just kind of automatically rolls off the tongue. Ugh. It's hard. It's kind of like Chicken McNuggets. It's hard not to call everything Chicken McNuggets, or at least it used to be for me for a hot second when I was younger. We're going to talk about Uganda agreeing to a deal with the U.S. to take deported migrants if they don't have criminal records. Okay, and I think that's all. And then the Trump administration is going up against the cartels. So let's see. It's very ambitious, but we'll see what we can cover today. I have a lot of confidence that we'll be able to cover all of this because I don't have enough steam in me to really rant about anything in particular. So let's do a little quick run through of all this stuff and see what's up. Okay, so let's start with artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. So, an actor sold his likeness. Now his avatar is selling supplements on TikTok. Oh, paywall? Okay. Jeez Christ. Let's see. Remove paywall.com. Remove the paywalls, please. All right. Anything? Nice. Okay. So this is a New York Times article by Sapna Maheshwari. The New York Times is getting very Indian. Actually, a lot is getting very Indian, I've noticed, probably because of diplomatic ties and migration and immigration patterns. Also, the fact that I think as per the census, the last census, Indians basically are the wealthiest people in the country at the moment. They make the most money on average. So we're going to be hearing a lot a lot about curry for the for the foreseeable future, really. We're going to hear more about curry than we want to hear about, unless you're from like another Southeast Asian country, maybe, and then it would be cool. You'd be like, finally, we're talking about curry, you know? But it's not even going to be the kind of curry you like. It's not going to be Thai curry. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be other curries from that region. It's going to be like Indian curry, and that's it. And that is a monopoly on speech, is what I'm saying. It's a monopoly on curry, and it's a monopoly on speech, and I am not a fan. But anyway, let's hear what this Indian lady has to say. So, Scott Jackmaine, a 52-year-old actor in Dallas. I mean, does anybody know who the fuck this is? All right, anyway. So, let's see. Yeah, it's about a guy named Scott Jackmaine. And he's an actor. And I guess he's not a very famous actor because I've never heard of him. But I'm also getting older, so I don't care about actors' names anymore. So he could be somebody that, it's just some dildo. I Googled him. It's just some guy with just obnoxiously clear skin for a 52-year-old and rosy cheeks for some reason. I don't know. Maybe he's like, you know what I mean? Like Swedish descent or something. What's the rosy cheek Europeans? Where are they? Are those the Norwegians? Which are the rosy cheeked ones? Anybody? So yeah, this is an actor from Dallas, okay? And it's talking about how there's these ads, and he doesn't speak Spanish, he doesn't have facial hair in another one, and then the voice and gestures are a little weird in some other one. This is the New York Times trying to build up, you know, intrigue. This is their style, their corporate style. And basically the big reveal is that he didn't perform in any of the videos. This is an AI avatar, a digital avatar, fueled by artificial intelligence, rather, which he licensed to TikTok last year. And so now a version of this guy is on the internet, basically as a brand ambassador to whatever advertiser is going to want to use him. And that's it. This is it. This is the future. And not bad, actually. Look, I mean, this is absolutely going to be misused. And it's going to be horrific in a lot of ways. But it's also going to be pretty good for other reasons. Like, for example, I am sleep deprived, and I would like nothing more than to just take a nap. If I were an actor, though, I'd have to drive to auditions and this and that. But now you can have a life, and your digital avatar is just doing whatever online while you take a long, like farting in your sleep. That's how hard you're sleeping nap. Like you're sleeping so deeply, the sleep apnea hasn't even kicked in, and you're not grinding your teeth. You're just deep in La La Land, right? And it's wonderful. So in the meantime, your digital avatar is doing God knows what, committing a terrorist attack or something, committing like some kind of like online malware. I don't know, becoming the face of, the dark web pedophilia market or something. Who knows what's happening with your digital avatar, but it ain't you. This is kind of like blameless identity fraud, basically. That's fine. That's fine, you know, because I think another main issue is that people, you're chained to your screen because you have to manually operate your digital avatar. You don't realize that that's what you're doing, but that's what you're doing. You are manually going around and acting on the behalf of your digital avatar, just a data point. And it's exhausting. And that's why you have to scroll and massage your social media presence and update your LinkedIn and do all this stuff. And, see what's going on with your OnlyFans and actually do the double penetration. But with a digital avatar, which OnlyFans already has leaps and leap years away from this guy, this actor, because OnlyFans already has digital avatars for their porn stars. I mean, sorry, their models. And the fact is that that's great. I mean, you know how good that's going to be for your asshole to not have to do like quintuple penetration, right? With like 20 black guys or something like that, just to kind of up the ante and keep people on your OnlyFans. You could just have your digital avatar do it. That's amazing. That's, I mean, gynecologists across the country are going to be so jazzed about this when they no longer have to basically mentally prepare themselves to go look into an OnlyFans model's pussy and go, all right, well, you know, it's just Monday. You know, it's this is normal. She's a sex worker. It's fine. She's a sex worker. It's fine. Just look down the barrel of that pussy. And, you know, and some days the pussy will be fine and normal and just, and it's just a checkup. Other days I might have to pull a gerbil out of it. Hey, this is what I signed up for as a gynecologist. So this is fine. And that's kind of great. And it'll be so good also for urinary tract infections and yeast infections across the board. And whatever happens to guys' buttholes when they do porn on OnlyFans too much. Who knows? Right? The fact is that I can see a lot of good applications for this. Mainly is that, you know, the hope is that it'll get people off the internet. I feel like it might not, though. I mean, because, I don't know, this is also reminding me of the Tamagotchis, which is a little digital avatar of a pet that people would carry around on a keychain back in the day, and you would watch it and take care of it, and people got really obsessed with it, and it's not an avatar of a real dog even, or cat, or whatever you have. It's just like something that never existed, and then it's like in 24-bit pixels. It's like very low resolution, and it's pooping and stuff, and you have to take care of it. So the thing is, you don't have to just watch it all the time, but that's what people ended up doing. So I don't know. You really start to think it's going to go one good way, and then you can think of a billion other bad ways it could go. People might be obsessed with their avatars on the internet. They might be so upset. They might get jealous of their avatars having better digital lives than they do in the real world. Your digital avatar can travel to any country with the snap of a finger. And you can't because you're broke. You're in debt, actually. You're a debt slave to YouTube or something. And whatever corporate entity is going to be your feudal lord in the future. So you're not going anywhere, but your avatar is. So, yeah, I could see that going wrong. I don't know. But for now, I think it'll be okay. Let's see what else is going on in AI. Yeah, AI toys as a substitute for parenting. Isn't that great? Now, this is clearly some kind of clickbait title, right? Parenting AI instead of a real parent. This is to get people to click on it, clearly. But let's see what they have. It's about a company called Curio. This is another New York Times article. A magical workshop where toys come to life. So they're cashing in on the Toy Story franchise and what it developed in kids' heads. Which Toy Story did not come up with that. That was in many, many books for many, many centuries. The Nutcracker is about toys coming to life at night when everybody's asleep. That is nice. It's what children love and makes them feel like the world is a mysterious, wonderful place. Awesome. But if you do ever see your toys moving around, you better check twice. It could just be rats running around your Barbie dolls. But this is Curio. This is an AI-powered toy company. Its headquarters are in Redwood City, California. And they made chatbots wrapped in stuffed animals. Yeah, no, that I can also see the billion ways that that's going to go wrong. I mean, a pedophile could just hack into the chatbot or just the chatbot itself could start hallucinating and start telling the kid to like kill their parents. Ugh. But it's just a chatbot, Each of its three smiling plushies has a back zipper pocket that hides a Wi-Fi-enabled voice box. That way you can... Yeah, that's great. That way, Curio can also track your child's location and whatever they're doing that's associated with that IP address. And then they can take all that data, bundle it up, all of the children, and then sell it to another company so that they can use that against you and your children. That's great. So it links the character to an artificial intelligence language model calibrated to converse with children as young as 3. Man, this sucks. Do you know, the only thing that I see is that you are seeing a bunch of toys and products and art replacements, music, generators and all this stuff. And it's just, it's like they want to, I don't know, it feels like they just want to steal people's imagination away from themselves. As young as 3, you, children should be the generative intelligence. If they're 3 years old, you should not be having a chatbot trying to walk your kid through how to think and feel. Your kid should not be on anything. Your kid should be staring at clouds, because whatever they see in the clouds, that's their minds generating it. And it's like DIY. You should be DIY before you just start hiring out your child's thought processes and imagination to a chatbot. Yeah, that's not good. Let's see. Yeah, I hate this. I hate this. Let your kid talk to themselves. Look, and it says it in later on. New York Times. The New York Times is always going to be in favor of pharmaceutical drugs and tech. They do not push back on that shit at all. Like, they will write a gazillion articles against Trump, or at least they used to when it was, you know, still hot. But they will always be like, oh, pharmaceuticals? Cool, dude. Oh, your children being empty shells? Hell yeah, dude. Because of this toy? Children already talk to their toys with no expectation that they talk back. As I fell into stilted conversation with Graham, this is the author of this article, it suggested that we play I Spy, which proved challenging as Graham can't see. I began to understand that it did not represent an upgrade to the lifeless teddy bear. It was more like a replacement for me. Okay. This is really just an example of the navel-gazing sort of syntax of the average New York Times article. It's like every New York Times article that's like this, that's about some kind of like cultural commentary or something, it just always feels like you're listening to somebody talk while they pick lint out of their belly buttons. This is hands down just a peak New York Times right here. All right, fine. So it's a chatbot that's talking through your toy. I'm glad we're not having as many kids, because we would just fuck them up anyway if we had more. Kitty chatbot companies are suggesting that your child can avoid bothering you and passively ogling a screen by chatting with her mechanical helper instead. Why not just put your phone down and enjoy your child? You're not going to have them for that long. You know, it's only going to be a few years before they start giving you that look like, ugh, would you shut up already? I just want to live my life. And then they move out. So enjoy them. They're going to be gone soon. They grow extremely fast. I have a 4-month-old. I literally have woken up some mornings in the last few months and been like, dude, I think she gained 3 pounds just overnight. It's crazy. It's going fast. Put your phone down and just, it's like the answer to wanting to look at your phone with your kid around is not give your kid a phone in a voice box. It's put your phone down and look at your fucking kid. And you know, I understand that you have to look at your phone for Slack channels and bullshit like that, but I don't know, man. I think we should normalize phone rooms again, like phone booths, the way they used to be. But before, it was a phone booth because that's where you would use the phone, because there were no phones that you could take with you. But I think they should keep the phone booths. You know, we don't need the landlines anymore, I guess. But that should be the polite society way to go look at your phone. You should not be with other people on your phone. And everybody knows that. And we all do it anyway, but we know it. We know it's wrong. We know we're walking around like bumper cars, just bumping into each other. We can't see where we're going. I see people driving and looking at their phones. It's like let's do that instead. Look at your phone. It's kind of like when people smoked cigarettes. Go smoke a cigarette outside. I think this chatbot toy, the title's clickbait, the concept is even clickbait in a little bit. It's a stupid toy though, and you should just give your kid a rock and get a Sharpie and paint a little face on it. Give her the rock and go and be like, "Hey, go play. Go. Get out of here. Here's a stick. Right? Here's some dirt. Rub it in your face. Go." That's it. That's all you need. Kids are insane. They talk to themselves. They don't need somebody talking to them unless it's their parents. Let's see. Google's Pixel 10 phones raises the ante on artificial intelligence. Let's see what's going on here. A new lineup of Pixel smartphones injected with another dose of AI that's designed to do everything from fetch vital information stored on the devices to help improve photos as they're being taken. Yeah, okay, and this is more of that. We're just going to have digital versions of ourselves kind of running around doing shit. I just hope it means we can sleep more. That's all I give a shit about, okay? If we could sleep more, if that means that there's more rest, which I doubt, by the way, because it seems like no matter how productive we get a technology to make us, all it means is that these fucking corporations want us to do more. So it's never going to be enough for them. It's never going to be enough. And the AI is not even working out. According to this new report by McKinsey and Company, which found that although nearly 8 in 10 companies use generative AI, they also found no significant bottom line impact. The tools remain too flawed to trust without a human babysitter, even with OpenAI's shiny new GPT-5. It doesn't. The thing is, it's supposed to be for them, for their productivity. It was supposed to improve their productivity. It doesn't work. And the only thing they seem to be using this shit for is to replace people who actually want to do the things they're being replaced with, like art and talking to your children. It's crazy. This is crazy. It's like acting and writing, all of the things that they want to take away everything you enjoy so that you can go babysit an AI and watch it live its best life, and also watch yourself, your avatar, live its best life while you just sit in some cubicle. I mean, what is this life? What's happening? There's another part of this report that mentions human factors add to the stall. Some employees resist training the tech that could replace them, duh, while others simply don't know how. The result, nearly half of companies shelved their AI pilot programs at the end of 2024, and the number is set to rise. Okay, fine. That's a battle that you win, but not the war. The AI is going to win the war because we're monkeys who love tools, and we're never going to let a tool go. You're never going to let a good tool go because we love good tools. Ever since the invention of the stick, we just don't let that shit go. The stick was the first invention, and we still use sticks. We use it as a lever, we use it as a dial, we use it to spin shit. We use it to do everything. We love sticks, we love wheels, the first two inventions. We still use them. We love them. We're never going to get rid of them. We love tools. But, you know, they oversold AI, basically, which people knew, I think, that it was being overhyped because it was too much. Too much propaganda, too much ads, too much shit online. And now there's this big letdown. But then the stuff that we want to do, that stuff is working. That stuff is good. People hate that shit, too. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, people are moving to blue-collar jobs now anyway because, you know, it'll take longer, I guess, to unify AI with robots and fine-tune them so they can do blue-collar work too. Do you want a robot in your house? Just some strange robot coming in doing your drywall? I don't know. Yeah. What else? And then Roblox. Roblox is another thing, targeting your kids, right? I mean, we're already losing our kids to the internet. Kids are inventing a new pagan pseudo-religion called Spawnism based on video game lore, worshipping a clip art asset from the 90s. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? That's just another. And then imagine once you put in generative AI or you know, super intelligent AI, kids are not going to have a chance. The only thing you can do is just keep them away from it until they're mature enough to at least have some kind of agency. But yeah, Roblox, if you don't know, is a digital playground filled with, you know, conventions, economies, and all kinds of shit. Anyone can create new games or play one of the millions of games that already exist in it, basically. So this is according to Pirate Wires, which is, I think, kind of like a libertarian-ish sort of publication, which I quite enjoy, but I don't think I am that, I guess. Not completely. I don't know what I am. Libertarian is kind of like what you say when you don't want to say you're a Democrat. Roblox. So, Forsaken, the game from which the idea of spawnism originated, has a philosophical premise. Being a being called the Spectre forces players trapped into a purgatorial samsara to participate in eternal games of cyclical death and resurrection. Spawnism emerged specifically from the in-game lore of Two Time and his affiliation with the Spawn's cult, a group that worships a god called the Spawn in hopes of receiving a second life, i.e. respawning. Two Time becomes consumed with an escalating desire to prove fealty to the Spawn, a psychological spiral that culminates in the traitorous, sacrificial murder of his friend Azur. Tragically for Two Time, the Spawn cult is later revealed to be a hoax. That's the story. And then somehow that morphed into a cult of kids claiming to unironically worship the Spawn. Well, now this Pirate Wise article is trying to do cultural panic, right? Culture panic, like with Marilyn Manson back in my day. And it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think people are past that kind of shit now, but maybe not. Satanic panic, stuff like that. This is, I mean, kids are stupid. That's why we need to take care of them and not let them just talk to chatbots without overseeing that. So, you know, they're stupid. They like worshiping shit. Because kids are like little Greek people. They're like the ancient Greeks. The ancient Greeks were basically like kids who grew up without parents. They just grew up in this violent, crazy world, and there was no parent there to show them that, you know, sacrificing babies is wrong and things like that. Or like, if you don't want your baby, you should not just throw it in the woods, which is what they used to do. They used to walk away from kids, like they just throw their babies in the woods, walk away from them like nothing, like you just took a dump. And so that's kind of what it reminds me of a lot. And so kids are like that. So that, yeah, they're gonna be pagans, they're gonna be this, they're gonna be that. They're just trying to figure shit out. And luckily they live in a time and place, if they live in places that are like what I'm about to say, where somebody can be like, hey, no, you're an idiot, so don't do that. Go learn a trade, go to college, read a book, okay? Don't worship spawn. don't worship spawn. And you know, human psychology goes in circles, and I don't know, I think we're like pre-shaped already psychologically to do certain things, like freak shows, for example, right? I think they made a big deal, I think, in the, what is it, anywhere from like the 80s to the early 2000s, to get rid of freak shows, right? Freak shows, oh, this is terrible. You're using somebody's disability as entertainment and this and that. But, you know, it was a little more nuanced than that, right? Because people in freak shows could not be gainfully employed. And they couldn't live in their towns and not be made fun of or taunted or harassed. So, you know, you join the circus, you're making some money, and there's a bunch of you there that are like each other. You get each other. You protect each other from strangers. And so, you know, there is that aspect to it. And but they got rid of freak shows. And now, lo and behold, freak shows have remanifested in a variety of ways. There's the specific freak shows where people kind of ironically are freaks. They become lizard people or cat woman or this or that. And then they go around hanging heavy weights off their balls and swinging them around and people and eating swords and fire eating and having a great time. Because people need it. They need it. They need They need to see the strange and unusual things in themselves, really. And then there's things that are freak shows, even though they're not overtly freak shows. Like Kill Tony is a freak show. It's a freak show, however, in a bizarro land, right, where the freaks are mediocre. That's what their freakish trait is how mediocre the people who are signing up for the bucket are when they get on stage. Because not everybody, there are some hitters, but people like to see the failures, and the failures are just people who are dysfunctional, people who are, they're freaks in a different, they're like psychic freaks. That's what we like now in this postmodern society. And then the performers, the stars, are people who would have been considered freaks, right? People with disabilities, little people, people with CP, people who are big fat people, right? People who are black. Somehow that made you a freak back in the day, I guess. Yeah, you know, be like an African something with a bone through your nose. They would do that, right? And so you can take the freak show away from the monkey, but you can't take, I mean, you can take the monkey out of the freak show, but you can't take the freak show out of the monkey, is what I'm trying to say. We love it. We're never going to stop. We're never going to stop. What we should do is just remind each other, like, of each other's humanity, that even though we're engaged in this entertainment or whatever it is, right, that you're looking at a person. That's it. Right? Remember, don't be an idiot. And that's kind of it. But anyway, these kids are worshiping Spawn. You know what? Good luck to them. When I was a kid, I wanted to worship ancient Egypt. I did that. Right? So anyway, moving on. That's all of the horrors of the internet. Right? Oh, I guess we're not going to be able to really reach all of these topics, but I'll cover them next week a little bit. Let's see. Let's read a couple of jokes from the Edinburgh Fringe. Favorite national jokes. Okay. This is from Austria. Submitted by the Austrian Cultural Forum in London. Oh, sounds hilarious. Which serves as the cultural section of the embassy. Oh my God, what? This is going to be a real knee slapper. All right, let's see. Why is our flag red, white, red? And then the punchline is, so that we won't accidentally hang it upside down. And then there's a Babbel explainer because you don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. And so then you need it explained to you. This joke gently mocks Austria's sense of practicality and its understated humor. The flag's symmetrical red-white design makes it impossible to hang incorrectly, which is both the source of national pride and the punchline of the joke. It suggests an endearing obsession with order and functionality, while acknowledging that such traits can sometimes come across as overly literal. Yeah, they're Nazis. Anyway, these are Nazis. Okay. So that's why they are overly literal, right? And so you can't tell a German something like final solution. They'll take it too literally. Do you understand? And so, yeah, if you want to see more of these jokes, you'll see it's on Babbel.com. Best National Jokes Edinburgh Fringe. There you go. Have fun. Here's another one. Brazil. In Brazil, we have two seasons. Summer and elections. Hilarious. What's the Babbel explainer for this joke? This joke reflects Brazil's highly active political landscape where elections feel nearly constant. I mean, I got that. All right. Anyway, moving on. There's Czech Republic. Here's a Czech. Okay, this one I can get down with this. This is universal. Okay, Czech Republic, submitted by the Embassy of the Czech Republic to the UK. Do you know the three most common lies of Czech men? What is it? One, we are just going for one beer. They're alcoholics. Hell yeah. Two, I'll just finish this glass and then go. Oh, they're really alcoholics. Three, starting tomorrow, I'm not drinking anymore. Hell yeah. I mean, isn't this the whole world? Okay. So yeah, there's tons of them. There's I think there's like 30 of them. Pretty cool. So yeah, have at it. Check that out. Bunch of jokes. Have some fun. Radioactive frozen shrimp at Walmart. The FDA is warning you to not buy them. I'll just say that, leave that right there, and then you do whatever the fuck you want. Maybe you want radioactive shrimp so you can grow, you know, three arms and then join a freak show. Who knows? There was also another Trump assassination attempt, and they just announced it. They arrested the lady. It was a lady now. Natalie Rose Jones. She was arrested for plotting to assassinate Trump while traveling from New York to Washington, D.C. That's nice. She faces two federal charges for willfully threatening to take the life of the president. She made threats on social media. She's an idiot. Everybody needs clout before they do anything. That's why nobody gets anything done. You see? This is like the... This is a old wisdom is if you want to do anything, don't broadcast it, right? If you want to kill the president, shut up. Kill the president. You know what I mean? If people can't resist doing something for attention, this is gross. She deserves it for being a blabbermouth. And then finally, this is all I have time for, Joe Rogan kettlebell, everybody. He's selling a kettlebell with his face on it. His head, like his entire head is the kettlebell. And you could go check it out on Instagram. It's quite something. But they don't just have Joe Rogan stuff. It's you go to the Onnit Instagram account. They also have animals and gorillas and stuff, which, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between the gorilla one and the Joe Rogan one. But, you know, if you look really hard, you can see that the Joe Rogan one is the one that's talking a lot. So there you go. The one that the Joe Rogan kettlebell, you can tell from the gorilla one, because the Joe Rogan kettlebell is the one that's going, Have you tried cold plunge? That's the Joe Rogan one. It does look pretty cool, actually. My husband wants one, and I'll probably get it for him for his birthday next year. All right. Well, that's all the time I have for today. I've been yammering on long enough. Very sleep deprived. I gotta go to sleep. I gotta go. All right. You take care. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And as always, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday when I come back with more in the news, more commentary, more bitching about my life, and et cetera. Ipso facto, that's made up Latin. Have a great weekend once again. Thanks again for listening. And I'll talk to you again soon. All right. Bye.